I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Jerry Eves, Sports Radio.
That's a brand name. Like Pepsi, that's a brand name. I stand behind it. I guarantee it. They know that, even if they don't know me any more than they know the chairman of General Mills.
Good afternoon and welcome to Eve Sports Radio. Call now, 502-571-1080 or toll free, 877-904-1080. You can tweet Jerry at JerryEves5. That's JerryEves5 on Twitter.
This is Eve Sports Radio on Talk Radio 1080.
Welcome back to Eve Sports Radio. It is June the 24th, 2022. Friday in the Louisville area, if you did not know it. Partly cloudy, white powdery clouds. Beautiful day. Not too warm. Get out and start exercising early because it's going to warm up and have a magnificent day. Stay with me for the next hour, of course, before you leave for your exercise or shopping. I would truly appreciate that. And you haven't heard from this guy in quite a long time because I locked him in a closet. And we tried to keep him there, but he seems to find he knows how to get out of things. I don't know. He's a magician, I think. Because I put him in a straight jacket, glass enclosed case, pumped no air into it, and he found his way out. He'll tell you Big Blue Nation did it. I don't know who did it, but his name's Ring You. John, please bring the Ring You onto the show.
Jerry, as I've always told you, it's magic, and I'm fooling you, okay?
Are you fooling me?
Don't ever forget that, Jerry. It's magic, and I'm fooling you.
George,
it's all an illusion. It's never real.
It's never real?
You know what I mean?
George, I put the chains on you, hands and feet. I just couldn't get you to the Ohio River, but I was trying.
Well, you know, you buy cheap cars, Jerry, and you won't buy gas for them, so it's kind of hard to keep them moving. Exactly. And going fast.
There you go. I thought I had suckered you into saying, George, let's see how good you are. Ran out of gas, George. I was going to drop you in the river. But you're back, George. George, you know, it's been quite a long time. I've been off on Friday.
Thanks, yeah.
On Friday. Golf,
you took me out to your little golf
yes.
outing. And this is why I try to get the fans to understand the power of putt-putt. We stayed out there, Jerry. I mean, an eight-hour day, Jerry. I don't do eight-hour days where I charge a whole lot of money.
It was an eight-hour day, too, George. Hot day.
I mean, I could have fried 12 eggs, Jerry. It was so hot out there that day.
George, you could have. That's on my forehead.
And those golfers went out there, Jerry, and they supported you and your school. I salute them, gentlemen, ladies. Yes. It was amazing. Jerry, it was hot. Was it hot?
It was hot. George, no. It was H-E-double-double-L-L-L hot. It was crazy. I mean, it was crazy warm. But they did.
George. Oh, man.
And, George, everybody, yeah. The checks are coming in. People are paying. They bought all my auction items. They're paying for those, George. A lot of good people out there. That's all I can say.
Well, Jerry, I'll say one thing, and I know why he's a Hall of Fame coach and he's always been on top of the game. That's Coach Crum. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I noticed about Coach Crum, he made an entrance. Like we call him Cool Hand Luke. He stayed mm-hmm. cool. He made an exit and never broke a sweat.
Never broke a sweat. He didn't. Lake Forest Country, he was at the bottom floor just taking it easy. No, it mm-hmm. was great. Susan brought him out. Stephen Crum played. But it was a great event, George. Hey, George,
it was a great event, Jeff. Something I mean, I had a good time, although I like the fried, but it was good to see you. I mean, I learned a lot. Got to meet a lot of good people. Coach Payne was out there. Daryl was out there. I mean, you brought LeBrasso was out there. The guys came home for you, Joe. I like it. Louisville looked like it's growing, man. Bringing back that camaraderie ship. You know what I mean? That y'all have suffered from for many years now. You know what I mean? But I'm not like the Big Blue Nation. We always take our own. But don't worry about that, Jerry. You are learning a lot with having me around you and being able to bring that camaraderie back to the school.
Here's the deal, George. You're the one who brought it to my attention that 2 weeks ago something started. And it's been going on for such a long time, George. I'm 63. I played in it. I know you played in it. Coach Beard played in it. Artis Gilmore did it.
Yeah.
George, what's going on in Shining Park?
We got the dirt bowl back, Jerry. And this will be the third week. We got some Louisville's best outdoor ball players. Some have played collegiately. And Jerry, they started back the youth division, which I really appreciate. I like to get to see the young players come out up and get to show their talent. You know, we see some of the high school players. And this is sort of like when we talked about back in the day, Jerry, when you used to go to different high schools. Now you don't have to be, you know, you may go to different high schools, but you may play with a guy you like playing with. And it's okay to do it, and nobody can bother you. So we get to see some good talent, Jerry, in the open division. They have some high school college ball players. So I think maybe a couple of your ball players in there. I think you had a champion one time. I think John is a former champion of the Dirt Bowl.
Okay. Good. I mean, so that's excellent, though. No, the Dirt Bowl's back.
And the voice, I got to give Carnell and Ray Bond a shout-out. Carnell, I said bang.
The voice of the Dirt Bowl.
Bradley.
I said bang.
You know what I mean?
It's great. They have to try and listen to it one time, George. He is funny.
That's almost like mentioning John Thong, man. I said, if you get John Thong to mention your name and Carnell Bradley to mention your name, you made it in Louisville.
You made it in Louisville. John Thong was one of the best, George. No question about it. Voice of the Fairgrounds. Now, George, we know that yesterday, last night, there were young men that were accomplishing their dreams, and they were waiting in the room to be drafted, and there were two Kentucky players, George, that were drafted. I probably argued back and forth more about the Shaedon Sharpe young man than anybody in the last 5 or 6 years in this draft, and a lot of people were asking me, why would an NBA team take a risk on a young man that did not play his last year in high school or in college, George? And I've been telling them forever, the NBA today, and it's been for 20 years, Coach Beard tries to get off, George, but I want to remind you of something, because this is Coach Beard's era when we were both in the league. The Cleveland Cavaliers, George, I had 7 players on the Cavs roster, which I was an assistant coach of, 7. Mm-hmm. Under 20, George, 7. So it's been going on for 20-plus years. They're not drafting. Like someone said, Magic and Larry Bird. Yes, there used to be a time in the 80s when you were the first or second round pick, George. They thought you were going to turn your team around that year, and players did.
Right.
Kareem. But, George, not now. They are drafting only on potential. They're not saying that he'll even play a game in the NBA next year. Sharpe could be in the developmental league the entire year. That's not
right.
Why they're drafting them. Do I agree with it? No. But I was a coach. That meant I lost my job. But I just want everyone to know, these drafts you're looking at has nothing to do with this year's season coming up. It does not. So, George, what did you think of this year's draft before we get into it?
Well, I thought maybe the first 5 were you know, really super talented players. And then I thought, you know, a lot of the other players were kids that you were taking chances on. I thought overall there were some teams made some differences. Like I told you earlier, I thought Houston made a difference for their team. Mm-hmm. I thought Detroit made a difference for their team. You know, I saw some of the players coming in that's going to be different makers in the league. You know, when LA got their draft, I didn't think anybody was left for them to pick. You know, I didn't see a whole lot of difference makers like you just said. I see a lot of G League ball players. Our players to help make a team be able to make a trade to for another player. You know what I mean? You know how that goes. You got to match the money. So, you know, I'll take a player high and then match him with another player and do a deal. So that's the way I kind of looked at it this year. What about yourself?
Yeah. You know, George, this year's draft to me, and of course, you know, we've been doing this a long time. George, I don't think that we even put a show into the upcoming NBA draft. I never just sat down and said, I'm going to have a show about this year's NBA draft. It just did not excite me. So let's just start with the first 5, like you said. Pablo Banchero, we understood he or Jabari Smith from Auburn were going to be 1, 2, 3. Chad Holmgren, we knew the 3 that would be the top 3. I was glad to see Murray from Iowa because he really has turned it around. He's an excellent player. And I was huge. Ivy George from Purdue, I watched him during the season. I thought he was really good, but he laid such an egg against St. Peter's after they beat Kentucky. George, he was frightened. Here's one thing, George, and I'm going to let you have it for a second because I've been doing this. George, I tell everyone, when it comes to when I was an assistant coach, and yes, you had input, not much, but you had input. Scouts had more input than coaches. I just want people to know that. I'm talking about the head coaches also. But they would ask our input. All I would always tell them is that show me games in the NCAA tournament. Because, George,
there you go.
When a player can elevate his game when it counts, I feel better about him elevating his game to help me win a playoff game. And right. I hate to say it, Ivy, I love his mom, coach at Notre Dame, great WNBA player, beautiful woman. He laid an egg. I would have been frightened to draft him because, George, he did not show up at all. I mean, he had the right. ball in his hand. He was awful. So that's right. just one of my criteria. What is one of yours, George, when you're trying to evaluate recruits to bring to your team if you're a scout?
I think that's one of them is how you play in the big games, Jerry. I mm-hmm. really think that's what separates all the ball players from other ball mm-hmm. players. And I think how you respond under pressure, you know, being able to – who's going to take the last shot? I like mm-hmm. to see a close game and who wants the ball in their hands at that time and who wants to take over the game. And I like
Hey, George, who took some big shots in 1980 for the Louisville team down the stretch?
We're not talking about 1980. I thought you were talking about last night.
Come on, George.
Who cares about 1980 there? Who took some big shots?
When the game was on the line, took big shots. Who did that, George?
I forgot. Did you get paid for it?
George, what was that person's name? You better tell
me. Did you get paid for it?
No, George, I didn't.
I'm not calling out no name there because, you know, I don't do government names.
I keep going. I'm sorry, George. And people don't know.
Okay.
I wanted George to say Jerry Eves, but he just wouldn't do it.
Oh, that's who you were talking about.
Yes, George. Big shots when it mattered. Keep going. You're 100% right, George.
Yeah. You made one steal in your whole life, and it really counted for something, and now you want to take credit. How many years ago was that?
Big shots, George. Well, I was 19, so George, golly. How many years was that? I'm 63, George. That was what? 40,
how are you expecting me to remember that in UK?
44 years ago, George? Hey, but George.
I can't remember that far back there.
I can't either, but it was some big shots, man, George. So I agree
with you. Well, congratulations, Mr. E. Let me tell you something. A team in Utah took a little guy that took big shots in 1980 and gave him a chance to play in this game. Okay. Do you feel better now? Can I go on and talk about the players or the future?
Go ahead.
Do we have to stay in the 80s?
I just had to take you back. But go ahead. I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
You
know, I almost forgot what I said. But anyway, Jerry, like you said, though, now it's guys who take the big. But I like how teams rally around the player, Jerry. And you know one thing I don't like about – I don't like a player who transfers a lot.
Oh, no.
I have a lot of trepidation about that guy. Yes. You know what I mean? Because that tells me that you don't get along well with others. You know, and you know that's a long – 82 games, a long time to be in a locker room with a knucklehead, Jerry. And you've been a coach, so you know you can speak a lot about that.
Oh, my goodness. It's a nightmare, Jerry. NBA season so long, too many games. When you got immature kids around you, it's a nightmare. It's just a long season. But no, George, mm-hmm. you're correct. Now, George, out of everybody, we know Ty had to sit there a long time. One of your big Blue Nation, long time, 29th pick. I was just glad to see young man was drafted. He'll be guaranteed, George, about 1.6, 1.7, 1.9 for 3 years. He's going to make more money than you and I have made in our lifetime. So let's just hope he takes care of it. But he had to wait a while. Let's just start with Sharp first. What do you think, George? Like I said, he went seventh, which is Portland. He's got a 7-foot wingspan. He's got a 45-inch vertical jump. He's got a decent jump shot, George. But he never played against quality competition. What do you think?
Well, Jerry, you know, one of the things, I've really been listening to what his teammates say about him more than I know about him, anything else. And, Jerry, when people who've been around you all year and they talk about there's nothing that you can't do, you know, he would have definitely been a benefit to the team. He's like a brother. We really appreciate him being with us. He was the first guy to cheer us on when we were down. He was the guy that lifted us up. So there's a lot of positive things I think about him, Jerry. And I know, and you know yourself how hard it is for you to have to sit out and wait like that. And for you to go into the practice every day, Jerry. So that says a lot about him. And then giving the team the best he had and not causing any kind of problem, being any kind of problem in Lexington, you know, in any kind of way, and still did his academics. You know, Jerry, I think that says a lot about the young man. I thought that he got a chance. And I, like I told a person the other day, there's not a coach in America that not would have took this young man, and if he'd have made that decision, they would have went along with it. Because there's no way I would have accidentally wanted him to come on the floor. And if he's as good as he say he is, to be in my butt.
Would Cal do it again? Because he took a lot of flack for not making a kid play. Would he do it again? I agree with you. Every coach would have done it, Jerry. I said that myself. But now the coach.
But everybody don't have a five, Jerry. There's a difference. He's a five. And he may be better than that.
I mean, you
don't want this boy busting loose on you. And like Cal
said himself, though, Jerry, I thought he was coming back.
Okay, George, you big Blue Nation. You're supposed to want to see that kid play.
They're mad.
They are mad. They were mad. But, I mean, but George,
there's no way I'm going to tell him no.
You're always trying to cover for the young people. You do a great job.
Jerry, you're a head coach. Sharp come to your door. And so, Coach, I'd like to come to your school. I think I'll play next year for you. You going to tell me? You going to tell him no?
No, I would not.
You going to say no? If you don't play this year, you can't come to my school?
Here's what I would have done. No, George, you're 100% correct. I would have said yes, but here's what would have happened. Once he did not play, no problem. And once he started to declare, put his name in and test the water, and I found out, like you knew and everyone else knew that, and if they listened to eSports Radio, I told everybody, after I left Chicago, everybody was telling me the yik-yak. I said, I don't care what any scouts put out on the internet. The boy's a top 8 pick. I said, I don't care what anybody says. And he was. I'd have no problem with it. But I would have, if I was Coach Calipari, the minute he declared, I would have taken his scholarship and said, I'm going to give it to somebody else. I would have forced him out. I would not have waited. I wouldn't. That's the only thing I would have done, George.
I mean, that's a good after-the-fact thing to do. I got enough money now. I can cover it. Okay, go ahead.
I agree with that. No, George.
You cover. I agree with you. You cover. I got your back. Take my scholarship, okay?
Yeah, because he's going to, George, we knew he was going to leave. So the question is, why did Cal continue to play that game that he was coming back? George, that kid was not coming back. I knew that. I told you that. They didn't know you knew.
Jerry, because we all do that. That's coaches talk. You know what it is.
George.
I got to do that. Well, I'm going to go tell the fans before the game. Well, he ain't coming back. Don't worry about it. We're going to play hard as we can tonight. So y'all don't worry about nothing, okay?
Hey, George, here's what I'm saying. After the St. Peter's loss and the season's over, that's when I would have been John Calipari. I'd have spoke to the family, said, no question, George. And another thing, Cal wasn't there, George. He wasn't there with Ty. He wasn't there. That's first time, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't watch Cal like that. I'm not on the Cal alert.
Right.
He wasn't at the draft, George. But you
thought. Well, I mean, Jerry, you think he's that upset? I mean, you know how much flack that man done caught over his Jerry.
Oh, he caught flack, yes.
From all the big people who really mean a lot.
Yeah, Jerry.
So you again, there was nothing you could really do. I mean, I understand what everybody's saying and how you're saying it, but okay. Jerry, there's no coach in America wouldn't have took the same chance.
Okay, well, George,
and all you do is just hope that the scouts don't like him like they did, and the man was everything they said he was. So
different with you, John. Before we go to break, oh, I finally have them. I'm going to see who rolls over.
Everybody,
please bring on Ron.
But in the end,
George, you got.
Please bring on Ron.
Let's bring on Ron. Here he is.
Oh, my hero.
Oh,
he's going to get upset, though.
First off, George, you know, you was talking about Jerry getting along with guys for 82 games. He can't get along with me and you for 82 seconds.
That's a fact.
Hey, well, you know how that goes.
That's a fact. Who's going to punk out?
He's a different kind of cat, but we endure him, though.
There you go. Who's going to punk out?
But,
Ron?
So, Jerry.
Speak up, Ron.
I don't disagree with George often, but I disagree with him somewhat here. Let me ask you something.
I know you would.
Jerry, let me ask you something at Simmons College.
Okay.
Do you run your program, or do you let the players and their parents run it?
I run my program, no question.
Pardon me?
At A&T also. I run my program, no question.
Exactly. Well, that's what John Calipari's got to do too, okay?
Okay.
As far as taking the kid, I don't fault the kid for going pro. I've told you that many times.
Yes.
That's exactly what I would have done too, told my son to do. But you have to be honest when you come in. You can't lie. You can't cheat. You can't hide. The kid wants to go on social media and call himself one of the greatest to ever play the game. Well, that would be George. Toby and Michael. And you know what? I never seen them ever dodge competition or hide from it, okay, to raise their draft stock. That's how you become great. But all I got to say about this is, yeah, Cal wasn't there last night, and I've explained that to you, Jerry. I've been right about Shaedon Sharpe since December. And
You did. I'm going to admit,
I told you he was never going to play. He never intended to play.
You did.
That's why he didn't play in high school. This was all premeditated. So there's a reason Cal wasn't there last night. Cal couldn't go up there and not hug up to Ty and not, you know, hug up to Shaedon. But Cal had that butt blistered red by Big Blue Nation. And I promise you this. It won't happen at the University of Kentucky again. Yeah. If a kid comes down there and wants to come early, fine. If he's great, fine. But you're not going to tell me if you're going to play and you're not going to play and sit there and use that as a platform and draw nil money and take up a scholarship and get your brand out there and just sit there. And we don't need practice players and cheerleaders. We got a world-class cheerleading outfit down there. Okay, we don't need no more of those. So the only thing I would say to anybody that wants to do that, no, thank you. You can go sit on someone. Go sit on Duke's bench. See if they put up with it.
Okay. They had four first round picks, the kid coming early,
but he was dishonest. Not he necessarily, but the people around him, the adults. It was dishonest. Mm-hmm. It was dishonest from the beginning. They knew he was draft eligible when he came down there. Yes. They tried to act like they didn't know that at first. And then talking about how great he was in practice. Well, when Ty went down and Severe Willer went down, and they needed help. They needed help, and he said, no, it was my choice. I wasn't going to play. So that's fine. You don't have to play. But
no, I agree. No, I'm with you.
We're not here to promote your brand, okay? We're running a basketball program down there. And if you want to enroll and go to school, that's fine. But you don't get a basketball scholarship to do that.
Well, here's the deal for both of you, Ron.
I'll just say this.
Hold on, Ron.
Mitch Barnhart's done made it clear to Mr. California.
Yes, but hold up. Here's the deal, though, Ron, George, all our listeners.
And if
this is about recruiting, hold up, Ron, stop. Is this about recruiting or is this about winning championships?
The
real problem is Duke had four first rounders. Krzyzewski hadn't won anything in a long time either. What has it turned into? It's Louisville football, which George and I are going to talk about. We've got great recruits. But it seems like the end of the day, it's more about recruiting than it is championships. I know nobody knew who Derek Smith was. Nobody. But it was about championships.
How many players, how many coaches have done what was just done in Kentucky? I know the answer to that, too.
Probably none. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I agree, like I said, Ryan, I see it on both sides of the coin. But, like, again, I understand if you give me the opportunity, I got to go. You know, and especially if they're talking number five in the country, I got to go. I understand what you're saying, truly. But it was a mistake on his behalf, and I think that, you know, we all make them. And I don't think I thought he believed the family. I really think he honestly thought that he was going to get that kid for 1 year, in my mind.
Well, I know you did. A lot of other people thought it, too. But I told Jerry from the beginning what was going on.
You were right. I can't argue nothing you said, Ron. And I didn't say anything about it. But I've seen it on both sides of it. And there's no way that I wouldn't have took the opportunity to get a kid like him.
I'll say it again, as far as Shaedon goes, I don't know how good he is because nobody's seen him.
Me neither. Nobody has seen him, Ron. You're right.
I'll say this. Michael and Kobe and Bird and Magic and all the great ones, they never hid. They never hid in dodge competition. They never had to hide to
dream. Yeah, this was the first.
What are you hiding, George?
Ron, I'm not arguing he's hiding anything. I'm just saying if I don't have to play basketball and the NBA is going to pick me in the fifth round, I'm going to do that. I mean, you can say what you want to, Ron. I'm going to go get the money. I'm going to go get the money.
All right, guys, listen up again. Ron, you are correct. You did say it in December that the young man was not going to play. You did. I told you in December. He says in the scouts, I said, no scouts know what we say in draft rooms. I'm not saying it's right. I'm telling you that I had seven players on the Cleveland Cavaliers team under the age of 20 22 years ago. The bottom line is that they draft on potential. So this is the first young man that's been able to get away with not playing in high school or in college and was a top 10 pick. We're going to see how it works out. I just don't know if it will. We'll see. But he was the first that this mold. I don't know if it will happen very much after that, unless Shaedon Sharpe goes and plays well. And I'm going to be at the Las Vegas Summer League. If he plays well next year in the NBA, you'll see this happen more. I'm not saying it's the right thing, but you'll see it more. We got to get to break. It's already 12:32. Esports Radio. Phone number is 502-571-1080. We'll talk to you in a minute. Welcome back to Esports Radio. That is John, my producer, said he wanted to make it a funky Friday.
Red hot chili peppers for you.
Okay. George, you know anything about that?
He didn't know, John. Yeah, I know all about red hot chili peppers, Jerry.
I'm not going to kid you. I did not. At least I'm going to tell the truth, George. I don't know anything about the red hot chili peppers.
Yeah, I do. Man, yeah, they're pretty funky. They got a little, they do a little funkadelic. George is one of their mentors. You didn't know nothing about that, then. You probably don't know George Clinton is either. But
George,
anyway.
Don't try to say funkadelics. Come on.
Yeah, I know, Jerry. Who told you that? John whispered in your ear on the phone.
So, before we get into the Knicks, we got callers. So let's get to Kevin before we move on. Kevin, welcome to Esports Radio.
What's up? Good afternoon, Mr. Brand and Mr. Ring Yu. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, Kevin. Always a pleasure. Thank you again for the pitch.
No problem, buddy. Jerry, I know you're a veteran NBA player from the 80s, and I've always wanted to ask you about this controversial subject. And I don't know if – don't take this the wrong way. I doubt you have any firsthand information about it because loose lips sink ships and it could ruin the league. But I always wanted to know, A, if you had any second or third-hand info on it, or B, if you had an opinion on it. And knowing you, I'm sure you do. But I'll say three things and then hang up and listen to your opinion. Okay. And if George has an opinion too, and this comes on the heels of last night's NBA draft, but 1985 NBA draft, Patrick Ewing, frozen envelope.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Did we lose Kevin?
He said he was going to give his questions and then hang up, so I guess that's what he did.
No, it was only one. He was going to give me three.
Oh, well, no, then he accidentally hung up then because he's
okay.
Gone.
Gotcha. George,
you.
We're going to talk about the Knicks, and he's talking about how the Knicks were able to win the lottery and get Patrick Ewing with the frozen envelope. I have no nor secondhand information about that. Kevin, I was in the third year of my career when Patrick came into the league, and that's not information that would have come to me, and no, I did not hear about that once I got into coaching, other than everybody says it was rigged for the Knicks to get the first pick, which was Patrick Ewing, George. That's all. Have you heard anything about that?
You know, only what we heard back in the day, Jerry, but and it's been so long ago, I had forgot it to Kevin and brought it up just then.
Yes, exactly. So, no, Kevin has not come across. I've not heard anything that would make that legitimate, but most of them are not. They do the lottery. The things are done. They have accounting firms that make sure it's done properly. So, no. I don't think that they do things like that. Houston got back.
Well, I think they're covering it to make sure that if it's done improperly, they know who to go get now. I mean, they do have a person that wants to make sure that nobody sees this until the night of the lottery.
Hakeem Olajuwon and Ralph Sampson back-to-back, Houston. So, I mean, you could have said that. Those things just happened. And I don't think Houston was a large enough market to where everybody said, oh, we have to have a great team in Houston. I just think those things happen, George. Mm. I do. So,
yeah.
But anyway.
Who did you think was the steal of the lottery last night, Jerry?
Johnny Davis, Wisconsin. I like him, George. Number 10 pick, I like him. I just think that he was mature. He can do a lot of things. I think the Pelicans, I think it was a great pick. I don't know why he didn't go earlier, but I did. I liked, and he made big shots when it counted. So I think he may have been, in my opinion, one of the steals. A lot of people say the Duren that went to Memphis from Memphis. So-so on that. I think Mark Williams from Duke has a huge upside, the center from Duke last year. I think he's got a tremendous upside.
Oh, Williams, yeah, no doubt about it. I think he's going to be a difference maker.
The Bobcats.
I'm not really in favor. Now, you're talking about a guy who was a fade in game, Pablo from Duke. I'm really not impressed with his overall game. I watched him last year. I mean, he can disappear, and I've watched him get defensed, and he kind of doesn't work hard to get himself open once someone tries to lock him up. I mean, I think he's still playing on that high school mentality that I've been better than everybody else. And I think when he gets in the NBA, he's going to have to really step up his game because, you know, night in, night out, he's going to find some outstanding ball players.
I'm be honest with you, George. Yes, if you remember, he was always cramping early in the season. So,
right.
A lot of people, I've seen that before. Like Kevin says, I have no idea. I'm not saying that the young man, but a lot of times he's either going to have to improve his conditioning. But George, when you're dehydrated or you drink too much, those things happen. I've seen it thousands of times. Now, it didn't happen toward the end of the season. He was able to handle it, maybe hydrated correctly. But George, you're 100% right. The first three picks is a toss-up. Jabari Smith is a great shooter, but
now I really like him, Jared.
He is.
And the reason I like him because he plays defense in multiple positions. Mm-hmm. You know, he can take it from a two all the way down to all the way to a four to me. I think you got him, and that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can interchange him. I think he can be a two or three or four depending on who you're playing, and he has that kind of speed for a big man. And he's real agile. I like, and he got good hands. That's why I look. That's one thing I really look for a big, Jerry. When you look at a big, I want to see can he catch the ball in different angles.
I agree. And I'm glad because Steven Silas,
and he can deliver the ball.
Is Houston's coach, and Steve and I are really, really good friends. So I'm glad. I think he will be a great pickup for them. Now, George, let's get to our next caller.
Go ahead.
Who do we got on the phone waiting for us, John?
Bubba.
Bubba, welcome to you,
my man, Bubba.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
The Rocks. What's up, The Rocks?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate
buddy.
You, Bubba.
The Rocks in the house, yeah.
Yep.
It's getting close. Getting close to football season. But hey, a couple.
Don't bring Jerry up, but don't remind Jerry that, Bubba. He'll cut you off, man.
I'm not frightened.
But hey, the sharp kid. I mean, with him telling everybody that he's going to be the best basketball player that's ever played the game. What about some of these veterans? I mean, when he's out on the floor, I mean, you take going back to school, you take guys like Barkley and Jordan and the old dudes, they would beat him up and make him like it. They're running his mouth.
And make him like it, Bubba.
I mean, he ain't helping himself, is he?
Here's
no.
the deal, Bubba. On July the 7th, he will have to play. And I'm going to be in Las Vegas at the NBA Summer League. I'm going to watch all of his games because I want to see. You're going to see rookies and first and second year players like David Johnson from Louisville last year who will be playing again in this Summer League. You'll see second year vets really going at this young man. So you're right. I will be able to report to you, John.
I'd like to hear that.
To see how he truly performs against lower level, not top tier, pros, but the lower level guys that can still play. So that's going to be a great test. Yes.
Well, go ahead, Bubba.
Go ahead. Right, go
and
ahead,
one, and my last thing, you know, are we just getting old? Because, I mean, you know, you think back, our parents would say, you know, when I was a kid, we had this or we had that. And then now we're sitting there going, you know, these kids, you know, the image, likeness, money, and just the way things have changed. I mean, are we just getting old because our kids are eventually going to say, well, you know, when I was a kid. So it's just a way of life, I think, sometimes. Mm-hmm. You might not like it, but that's the way it is.
Go ahead, George.
Yeah. It just means you made it, Bubba. You know what I mean? Any day above ground is a blessed day. I don't care if I get old or not. That's a blessing. Some people don't get to say that, Bubba. So I'm going to be one of those to appreciate it. But you were talking about the ball players earlier, Bubba. I was going to say this. When you face the ranch, you face the young man down in Memphis and stuff, all they remember when you tell people how great you're going to be. That's one thing. And Jerry, I tell you, you've been a ball player, Bubba. That riles you up, and that really gets you, because you always got to have a motive to go out and do somebody in. So when you face him on the court, and what did you say, young man? Let me show you what it's really about.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm going way back. I mean, you know, there were guys that, you know, you played against and you know, they'd run their mouth a little bit. And you get out there and you just,
kind of knock him on his butt and not say a word, just look at him, give me a little smirk, and then next time you come back, you keep giving it to him. He said, well, maybe I should get my damn mouth shut.
Yeah, he's going to find out. He's going to find out. Now, here's the deal.
And then so outside the corn, too.
Here's the deal, though, George. Check this out. Bubba, you're asking about the old days. We're talking about the money. Yes, there was no money in the old days, but there should have been, Bubba. Let's don't get that twisted. I'm not going to change on that. I just hate that it's not controlled money. I would like for the universities, the parents, to have more control of the young people's money to where they get some. At the same time, they have to save some. They have to invest some until they're mature enough to handle it. That's my only issue. But as for getting the money, I have no problem with it, George. When we say old days, we didn't. We should have, Bubba. There's a lot of money made then, but there's crazy money made now. It's just the
control. No. Don't get mad, because I thought it was crazy money back then, babe. I told you, I remember working out with Butch Vig one time, and Coach Golden State was calling him up, and he was refusing $500,000. Dude, I was 18 years old. I'm listening to a man tell him, no, I don't sign that contract with that kind of money. That ain't enough money. And like, Jerry, I thought, my God, for me, that would have been life-changing money. Mm-hmm. And he's telling the people, nope, you want to win a championship? Raise the ante, baby.
Raise the
ante. Mm-hmm. You know, every era we might think is crazy money, Jerry. It is, but there's more money every era. Yes, so, you know, absolutely. You don't make more. So I ain't never mad at the young boys making the money. Go get your money. But my thing, I thought that I watched that, Jared. It really impressed me with the NBA 90% of the time was the image of the ball players and how they were dressed. They came clean. They looked business. They looked like they were prepared to do business. I mean, the gold chains were still a little bit much.
Yeah, you're not going to get rid of that.
Stuff, most of them were razor sharp.
I agree, George. We've got to get to break, George, and we'll come back with our next.
Oh, come on, Jay. Let's talk it out, man. Don't let nobody pay you to talk on the radio. Come on.
I have to. Eve Sports Radio, phone number is 502-571-1080. We've got to let my advertisers have their time, George. Talk to you in a minute.
Can't stop addicted to the shindig. Chop top, it says I'm going to win big.
Welcome back to Eve Sports Radio. A little funk from John. And, George, you do not know who that is, so don't even play.
I don't.
It's the same group as earlier.
Got you.
I didn't know that song, Jerry. I don't know every song by the group.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, George, at least.
No, I don't know.
I didn't know, and I still don't. Now, George, we got people waiting. Let's get to Danny before we run out of time this Friday.
Okay,
Danny,
let's do that.
Welcome to Sports Radio. How are you?
You there,
hello?
Danny? There you go.
Yes. How are you, Danny?
I'm good.
How can we help you?
Jerry, I'm calling in response to Ron the other day. He called in and mentioned how Scott's getting all these football recruits, these high recruits.
Okay.
And if they're even going to be here, if he's not the coach anymore, well, he's getting these recruits because somebody's offering these recruits a lot of money. And if he's not here, those people are still going to give him money. Those recruits are going to be here.
Do you agree with
well it? Said. Well said.
Like this, Danny?
No. Jerry, I do agree with you that these kids need to be paid.
Okay.
But this NIL is not going to be fair and equitable. But Nation and all the haters that think that somebody's cheating to get these recruits, well, what's going on is going to go on everywhere.
It's legal now. It's not cheating.
It's not called cheating anymore.
It's legal.
There's
no word it's cheating anymore, I don't think, in the NCAA. I don't know how you would cheat. How would you cheat in the NCAA now?
I said, if Scott Satterfield fails next season, those big recruits are going to be here anyway because somebody is going to spend a lot of money.
Okay, here's a question.
No doubt about it.
and we, Danny, we haven't gotten to it yet, but here's what's going on. I've got to throw out a hypothetical. We know that little Manning is now going to Texas, or he has supposedly committed to Texas, right? Do you think that would sway Reuben Owens, the great running back from Texas, to want to go with him instead of playing with Pierce Clarkson? What do you think? Is there a possibility?
I don't have an opinion on that. I don't know what to think about that.
Okay, good. You know what, Danny? smart.
I guess a little bit. It irritates me a little bit that people think that these kids are coming here because of Scott Satterfield. They're coming here because that's where the money is.
Well, there's money everywhere. Name him as you like.
There you go.
Right. And it's legal and it should happen. I have no problem.
And Scott, I'm going to tell you something. And Jerry heard the interview yesterday. The one thing that Scott's father said, and I didn't think about it till you just came on and you reiterated in my brain. He said, the one thing about coming to Louisville is you come into a town that has no pro teams around it at all. You are the pro entity in this city. And he will be getting paid like a pro. And that's why his father said, we're making that move. And you reiterated that. That's what. And I hate the NIL deal, too. I thought it was just over the board. I thought they could have did a lot better for the kids and made it a lot equitable, and kids would want to went to schools because, I mean, it's going to kill fan bases. I mean, do you really think that your kids care about your school anymore, or are they just playing for the school because you're the biggest donator to their program?
Right. No.
No, I don't. I don't think these kids, we're going to start seeing kids leave schools every year where they're going to go where the money is.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I agree with you totally, Scott.
Danny, one question, Danny. Is that the American
way? Danny, my fault.
Danny, is that the American way?
It's turning into it. Well, it's going to be the American college way.
Hold up, Danny. Danny? Is that the American way now? Because we're upset with the kids. You just said they're going to leave. Do coaches leave? Does everyone leave for better positions? Isn't that the capitalist way? Why are we so hard on athletes? Why do we want them to?
I'm not being hard on them. I don't know what the right answer is.
Okay.
I do agree they need to be compensated. I agree with that. I believe we are changing the landscape of college athletics.
There you
athletic.
Go.
Okay.
Right.
No,
right. I totally 100% agree with what you just said, Dan. Mm-hmm. But Jerry, what do you think? You think one school's giving kid $200,000? I mean, back when you came, you picked the program basically because you liked the university and you had a choice. Are you picking the program because I really want to go here, but I can make $500,000 over here?
Okay, George, here's the situation.
So,
yes, the decision is
how you think most kids are going to pick and parents are going to pick.
They will take the financial whereabouts first, just like everyone else would in America. Your first decision as an adult is making sure you feed your family in the best way that you can, and you will make financial decisions. We all do, and we all should. We should, guys. I'm being 100%. Great question, George.
No, we're talking about the killing of the game. Because, well,
I go
with you. All right, I'm going to accept that. I mean, okay.
It's legal now, George, and it's a capitalist society.
Oh, I do, but I'm being the team. A lot of players went to school, Jerry, to play with certain teams and for the win of the championship back in the day. And I think, like Danny said, we could have gave them money that would have made it equitable so for them to be able to do that kind of thing and make the university. University now is just a semi-pro stopping point before you go to the pros.
Let me answer your question, George. Okay, I'm with that. I didn't say it's not. But the bottom line is you must live inside the rules. The rules now by 9 Supreme Court justices have said, 9-0, that the player should be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. So that means all the years that they have been doing this, NCAA have been reaping all the benefits from the players' backs, has to change. So now that it has to change, that means that it is legal for the kids to be paid. I think that the college athletics will adapt. I wish, Danny and George, that the athletic directors and the commissioners, which I've said for 7 years, would have made good, prudent decisions for this, but they did not.
No doubt.
They kept their head in the sand, and they made the federal government step in and make their decisions because they were greedy, Danny. So we should be mad at the kids. We should be mad at the people that did not, Swalfords, all the commissioners that did not make decisions, all the presidents and ADs. That's where your anger should be, because they did.
I'm not angry at that. I'm just ashamed of it. But this is the thing that I'm noticing, Jerry, that the NCAA still come out like a fat rat, because they're still going to make their money. It's going to be the alumni and the schools that have to pay these kids. The NCAA is not going to give up a penny.
We got 30 seconds. Great call. Okay. Hey, Danny, you leave your information. I'm going to send you a card. George, I got 30
seconds.
Here's the answer to that. George, everything works itself out. So when those
alums, I ain't mad at yeah, they will.
Or give out money, George. They'll give less to the school. You wait and see. They'll give it to the kids. They'll give less to the school. You wait and see. It's just going to take time. Guys, great, great show, George. Daddy, congratulations. George, you be safe, homeboy. I love you all.
Same here, babe.
I'll be back Monday, God willing. Y'all have a great weekend. Bye-bye.